Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Very fine. Jennings is here representing Doug. Doug is vacationing in the Hamptons. So
he is proxy for
yep.
Doug?
Yep. He is proxy.
I can't really
Very
do
good.
As good as Doug, but I'll try.
Right.
I am relieved to hear that we have a quorum.
Yes.
We do have a quorum. Derek, the Cardinals now 500 for the first time since the first week in June. And 3.5 games back of the Chicago Cubs. Cubs win last night. The Brewers have lost 2 in a row, so the Cardinals are 2 games back of the Cubs. What likelihood do you give the Cardinals for catching the Chicago Cubs and winning the National League Central?
I'm probably into that one-third, two-third range now that they have a one-third of a chance of catching the Cubs and a two-thirds chance of not catching the Cubs. I think they are, in effect, control their own destiny because they do have so many games remaining against the Cubs. So that gives them a chance. They haven't played consistently enough for you to go, oh, well, that gives them a real chance. So I think there are plenty of games left to chew up a 3.5-game deficit. There are plenty of head-to-head games for them to do that rather easily. So I think that's what they cling to, and certainly we've seen a Cardinals team with a greater deficit pick up more in less time. But I just don't think that they've played consistently enough or had the kind of winning streak that they need to do that. So they have to become something they haven't been, and that's a hard thing to ask of a team.
You know, one of the takeaways from last night I thought was that Dexter Fowler looked refreshed and
no
healthy.
Kidding.
And if that guy can be what the Cardinals thought he was when they signed him, he can be a difference maker.
I think that's a good point. The whole he goes, they go thing.
Thanks,
I mean, goodness, he was very lively last night. And, him toward the top of the order, if not at the top of the order, that kind of thing. I mean, you're talking about an offensive piece that they need some kind of different look to ignite an offense that has been pedestrian. It's a good point. I mean, like I said, maybe that's what does it. Maybe it's Dexter Fowler returning to form and then away they go, and that would certainly do it. But, you know, it's something we haven't seen yet. So, like, you're counting on the Cardinals or players with the Cardinals being something they haven't been.
What do you make of Stephen Piscotty? The Cardinals sent him down. The background, he had been on the DL with a groin injury. He had said that he used the time on the DL because he was able to swing a bat to work on a swing, which he said had gotten too loopy.
Yep.
4 games at Peoria. I think he went 3-for-15. He said he shortened his swing. When he came back, it didn't look like the adjustments held. What's going to be with Piscotty?
Well, 2 things. One, this has got to be, I mean, you never want to get demoted, but in some ways it has to be for Piscotty a tremendous relief. He's a guy who has been searching for his swing and they've had him doing it on the job. He knows what that means. He knows what that can cost. He knows how, just difficult that is for a major league player who has lost the feel for his swing to then have to try to find it and work it and, retune it and everything while the games count, while the team is trying to compete. That's a lot to ask. And it's why I was surprised they brought him back so quick. When he got the groin, I talked to him about the possibility that he had of going down on a rehab assignment and, really spending time with the swing where in games where it didn't count against the major league standings. And, was this the opportunity, the kind of blessing in disguise? And, he was rather candid, that would be something nice. And then, of course, it only lasts a few games when they could have used 20. They could have put him in AAA. And have him be there on a rehab assignment, not have him be there on a demotion, not have an option burn, not have all this stuff. They chose not to. I was a little surprised by that, but it's what he needs. he needs to, like I said, be away from where all the stats count and find himself.
Derek, I posed this earlier to Kat and Tim. Is it just strictly a chase of the Cubs now, or do you think the wild card is potentially in play?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. They don't have the games left against those teams, so you know that's a pretty wide gap. Now, the Dodgers can lay waste to the Diamondbacks and the Colorado a few times, and then all of a sudden it becomes a race. I think to be honest, I think you know the Cardinals need a winning streak before they talk about either. You know, go win, you know, 7 of 9 games. Go win 8 of 10. Go win 11 of 13. Go do that and yep. See where you stand. And then, you know, then we'll determine if you're a contender or not. You know, this win two, lose one, or win one, lose one, win one, lose one. No, that's treading water. You know, let's see you swim somewhere.
Let me ask you about Lance Lynn, who believes that the Cardinals are not serious about using that window of exclusive negotiating rights to get anything done with him. And you know,
did he put it that way? That's fantastic.
I mean, he didn't really come out. That's the sense in talking to him that I got, that he's not optimistic about that. But if you look at what he's done while he was in the middle of all the trade speculation and rumors, he has upped his game, which to me says something about a guy pitching in high pressure situations and able to avoid the distractions. Is there any chance that the Cardinals say, you know what, if we're going to be a team based on starting pitching, we need to bring Lance Lynn back? Are they so sure that their other options can be adequate replacements?
There is a chance that they double down on being on pitching and that they go toward defense and they go towards, well, we can't find somebody to help us score runs in this market, so we're going to go out and get everybody we can to prevent the other team from scoring runs. A run prevented is the equivalent of a run scored. Now, it also puts a lot of emphasis on everything going right. It means a bullpen that holds leads. It means no outs for base. I mean, it demands, if you're going to play that kind of game, it demands a sharper, crisper type of play like we saw in 2015. But there is that possibility that they go, well, the bat's not available or the bat's too pricey. The outcome's in that order. And more appealing, and they know what the cost is, and that nobody can bring, and they know what the value of the team offers would do. So,
apparently, Derek, are you there? Because we're having a little break up there as you were getting your
order. I'm here.
What did you order?
What did I order? What do you mean?
No, I thought you said, here comes my order. What's the frequency,
I said in that
Kenneth?
Order.
All right, okay. Jay, carry on.
Well, this, I was going to...
I made myself some coffee. I don't really order much at my house. I don't know how your house...
I thought maybe you were at a Starbucks or... I don't know.
It's hard to order at your own home, Cap.
Yeah, no, that's a recipe for disaster, gentlemen.
We talked about the schedule earlier and that it would appear, in theory, that you know the Cardinals have gotten rid of some of the... don't have to play some of the better teams. They obviously still have a couple with Boston and a couple other games, but the schedule might be in their favor.
Yeah, well, I have a hard time. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
And then I look at it, and I see 4 games in San Francisco right next to 4 games in San Diego. And then I see a 3-city road trip towards the end of the year, Chicago, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. And those two things are definitely where those could be the Cardinals' Waterloo. Those are long road trips. I mean, look, that road trip that has 4 games in San Francisco, 4 games in San Diego, it starts with 2 games in Milwaukee. Those two things, 3-city trips, lengthy stays, opponents, all there toward the end. Now, they'll be buttressed a little bit because they can expand their rosters. So they can have, I mean, get this, guys, they can have 13 relievers if they want. I mean, I know that's like Christmas. But those two things, those awaiting on the horizon. In fact, when the schedule came out last year and you look at it, you go, oh, well, that may be where they meet their demise. And those still loom.
Paul DeJong has been so impressive since taking over as shortstop. But it's not lost on me that last year, Aledmys Diaz looked so impressive.
Yeah.
When he took over as shortstop, he was an all-star. He had pop. He seemed to be getting better defensively. Now Aledmys, by the way, is picking it up at AAA. But when you look at Paul DeJong, to me, there's a guy that has a better arm than Diaz, obviously more power. Do you see him as being a shortstop in the Cardinals' future, or will they move him around? How do you see it going for him at this point based on what we know?
Well, I think a lot depends on what happens all around him, right? If they go out and they acquire a shortstop, then Paul DeJong is something else for them. I think Paul DeJong can pretty much be anything this team asks of him. He has, like you said, you hit on the key points there. His arm is healthier, stronger, truer than Diaz, and that allows him to play a more reliable shortstop. Diaz had to compensate at times for his arm, and that led to other problems. So I actually think that both of those guys could easily fill into a utility role. There is still an appeal in baseball to have a Ben Zobrist type, and Paul DeJong can do that. He can play first and second and short and third, and he can play the most difficult of the four very well in shortstop. He also has experience in right field, and I would imagine if you put him out in left field, he'd do fine. He's a very versatile, likable player who attacked this versatility. I talked to him about a year and a half ago. Or a year ago, I guess it was. And he said, I got to be versatile because I got to find a way to be in the field so they can put my bat in the lineup because, the way I hit, they're going to want my bat in the lineup. And that's how we kind of targeted things. I think it is important to kind of make that comparison, though. A year ago at this time, the Cardinals were convinced they had happened upon their shortstop of the future and that they had a guy who, they didn't expect. Remember, they found reasons not to have him on the roster during spring training, and here Aledmys Diaz went off and he's become their number two hitter and all-star, all the things that you listed, and they think going into spring training, here's our guy. Well, now they're back at the same spot, it's just a different name, and let's see some of the adjustments that he makes. Let's see some of the things that he can do, and there wouldn't be, you wouldn't fault the Cardinals if they went out and traded for a shortstop and said, this is our guy, and then see if DeJong is the third baseman or the movable piece for a while. And, or you go into spring next year and you're like, all right, Jed Jerkel, Aledmys Diaz, Paul DeJong, you got two spots. Two of you can go win playing time there and see who plays better. It should set up maybe for a competition, not a rigid answer at this point.
Let me ask you this before we let you go, and maybe I'm seeing this through my bright shoulder goggles, and I'm totally wrong. But to me, the thing that may set DeJong apart, which I don't really see from rookies very often, he could go 0-for-3 with three strikeouts and then hit a home run. Like, he is so even keel that he kind of has the feel of a guy who's been doing it for a long time. Am I overstating that? Am I missing the boat on that?
No, and on his birthday game, right, where he had four strikeouts, right, he also had two tremendous plays in the field. So he is, he's able to, I guess, compartmentalize is the phrase that we're supposed to use, compartmentalize with the best of them. Look, Paul DeJong, very impressive player. I can't say enough. I think I've mentioned to you guys before, I talked to him shortly after he was drafted. When the Cardinals drafted him in the fourth round, I got a text message from somebody who I've known for a long time who said, look, you got to meet this kid. Whatever you do, you got to meet him and talk with him. And, what a player the Cardinals got. He's from Illinois State, which is my mom's alma mater. So I was able to talk to him, had a connection there, but had a reason to talk to him as well. He's very, very in tune with what he has to do to be a better player, very aware of what he wants to be as a player, and very confident in his ability to get there. I talked to a few major leaguers whose only exposure to him before he got up here was either through a rehab assignment or, say, spring training or something like that. And I think you know this cat, but maybe we should do a better job of saying it. So when major leaguers who are kind of established, they get around the young guys and everything like that, every so often the front office or the coaches or whatever will ask them their opinion of the players. Like, hey, what do you think of this guy? Hey, what do you think of this guy's future? They'll ask the players who are established that, you know, just to get a quick review, kind of a scouting report, because the team's always trying to gather information on players, right? So, hey, you spent some time, like Piscotty, right? You spent some time in Peoria. Anybody impress you down there? A few years ago, John Jay went on a rehab assignment to Peoria, came back. They say, hey, anybody impress you down there? And he said, yes, Sierra. Mag Sierra, this kid down there playing center field, you're going to like him, that kind of stuff. Paul Young got rave reviews from his peers. And he may not have done anything in games. He may not have had a home run or any of those things, Kat, that you talk about. But they spoke about what he was like at work, what he was like at BP, how he carried himself around the clubhouse, that he had this really apparent confidence that did not cross over into arrogance. And they thought that there's a guy who has the engine within him to be a big leaguer.
Derek Gould with us every Tuesday and Thursday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. Derek, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Derek.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You got it.